You are right on time for Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Voltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. At the Price County Fair in northern Wisconsin this weekend, you can take in a competitive horse show, bands, rides, antiques, and, of course, animals. And what's a fair without a kitty tractor pull? The Price County Fair also has you covered with a lawnmower pull. Don't worry, you could also use an ATV. What are the quirks of your local county fair? What's your favorite attraction today or from years past? Maybe you're an FFA or 4-H. What role does the county fair play for you? Have you ever shown livestock? How are you involved in your local fair? 800-642-1234 is the number to call to share your experience, or you can email ideas at WPR.org. Jason Hausler is our county fair guide this morning. He's the area extension director for Wood, Portage, Marathon, and Clark counties. He is also a former 4-H educator in Dunn County. Jason, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We should just put it out there. You are an unabashed proponent of the county fair. Why should families go to these fairs in Wisconsin this summer? Why do you think they're special?
They are such great community events. As we look across the state, they really take on the life of the communities that they're in. So in your opening segment, you mentioned the Price County Fair and the kitty tractor pulls and, you know, the different things they offer. You go to, I was just in Wood County at the Central Wisconsin State Fair the other day, and they had a llama obstacle course show and kind of a different take on just your regular showing, getting them through obstacles and that sort of thing. So they really are a great community event. They take on a life of that community. And what better way to celebrate summer? You know, hearing your last segment about food, the food at the fair, I mean, that's next to none. It's one time you get to, you know, calories are free at the fair. So
is that how that works?
In my family, that's how it is. So, yes, calories are free at the fair. Yep.
You mentioned food. Jessica tweeted at WPR Mornings to say she is not ashamed. She goes to the state fair primarily for the food. What about county fairs? I mean, is food one of these big attractions here at these more local fairs?
Yeah, and I can't speak to the level of which foods are involved. And the fair boards really take care of an ownership of that. But I can tell you that, you know, when I work with youth at the fair in my previous position as a 4-H educator, now as an area director, it's a lot of times you're interacting with youth and they say, hey, let's go get some cheese curds. Hey, let's go get a funnel cake, or, you know, there's fried pickles at that stand. And so there are sometimes the specialties that only come around, but at the fair. So, you know, we've seen an increase, at least from my experience, in food trucks, and especially food trucks that come to county fairs and local fairs. You still do, churches and other community organizations that utilize their fair food stand as a great source of revenue generation to promote their programs throughout the rest of the year. 4-H included, many county fairs have a 4-H food stand, which helps propel the work of 4-H for that next year. So the county fairs are sometimes, you get those specialty foods or those one-offs that, you know, really keep people coming back.
Yeah, and because of that local control, you don't know what you're going to get. There are all of those surprises.
Yeah, exactly. And I was talking before with somebody else about this, and the local food trucks that are popping up, and they've kind of made it from the coasts, if you will, to central Wisconsin and to Wisconsin in general. And some of the things you would never think about having at the fair, you can generally find there's something for everybody, as they say.
Excellent. Let's go to the phones now. Dan from Drummond wants to talk about fairs in Wisconsin. Dan, welcome to the morning show.
Thank you. Yeah, for me, one of the finest little community fairs is in a little town called Glidden, Wisconsin. They have, that's been going on close to 90 years, I think they told me. And they have just a great get-together. They've got, like, the glass collar set. They got food and stuff like that. And they, for the kids, they and some of the adults, they have a merry-go-round that is indoors. And they got smaller children. They got a kitty car ride that's indoors. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful fair.
Dan, thank you for sharing that with us. It's a great example of one of those places where there is something for everybody. We're talking about county fairs across Wisconsin, community fairs too. Extension's Jason Hausler is our guide. He works with Wood, Portage, Marathon, and Clark counties. I'm Keely Boltina, and you can share your experience at county fairs by calling 800-642-1234. Do you volunteer? How long have you been involved with fairs? How hard is the work? Have you been prepping all year long? Email ideas at WPR.org. I want to go ahead and ask about the first county fair that you ever attended in Wisconsin, Jason. What do you remember from that experience?
Yeah, so I actually grew up in Wausau in central Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Valley Fair was something that my parents took me to as a kid, and it was that special kind of function. We didn't go very often. We didn't go every year either. So it was really a treat to go. And as I got older into my middle school years and high school years, I had friends that were showing under 4-H. And, you know, one of the things that the reason why I didn't join 4-H is my parents had the proverbial, you know, thought that 4-H is for the farm kids. And, mm-hmm. and I'm here to tell you it's not. So it's something for everybody in 4-H. And so as I got through kind of my middle school and high school years, I was going to more fairs, local fairs and that sort of thing, just to engage in a wide variety of activities that, you know, that I never had a chance to partake in as a kid. So I watched my friend's show. They would show steers and hogs, and I got an education myself on what does it mean to be in agriculture and what 4-H was all about outside of the fair too. So
yeah, I think county fairs do evoke this idea of 4-H, FFA members, kids of all ages raising farm animals and then showing them for judging or to be purchased. You know, what are animals judged on? How does that work?
Yeah, so I don't claim to be an animal judge or a livestock judge. I'll put that out there. So being kind of a city kid that kind of has known the has come to know and understand what the people are looking for. And it really is a judge's discretion. So it is really subjective in what a certain judge is looking for. There is a process that judges go through the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection to get certified as a judge. And so you have some, you know, for instance, you're looking at swine or pigs, if you will. You know, some like them long and lean, some like them shorter and stockier, but they're looking at how they walk. They're looking at how they're carrying their weight. Is there do they have a leg that's not moving right? And so it really is genetics too. So over the course of even my experience in 4-H as an educator for the last, 6-7 years, that has changed too. And what I've learned from the extension specialists working with Madison is, you know, what a hog 5 years ago that was 280 pounds would score one thing. And now that same hog with an extra 20 pounds on it, a 300-pound hog, is just as good by market standards as that other hog, that was 5 years ago. So the standards in the industry are changing, and thus members, young people that are showing animals at the fair are really looking to promote a quality meat product with their animals and showcase that. And so the industry changes and showing changes with the industry.
Yeah. And as, the animal side of this changes, we've also seen changes in projects that members of 4-H display or things that they perform or how they compete. So how have those other activities for 4-H evolved, especially to adapt to new technologies?
Yeah, it's a great great piece. So in extension, in 4-H, we really look at kind of 21st century skills. And so part of that includes technology and STEM projects. And so the partnership that extension has with county fairs is that opportunity for youth to showcase their work in those areas. And so an example that I'll give is, 5-6 years ago, you would go to a county fair, you would see Lego projects, just the brick and mortar Lego projects under mechanical science. And, it was great. The work of our young people is just extraordinary. But Lego has come out with robotics kits. And so learning how to program a robot. Robots are the future. And so what are better way to take something that kids love to do, such as Legos, and Lego made a robotics kit. So there, at the time, at our local fair in Dunn County, we did not have an opportunity or a class or lot that people could register and show their Lego robotics project. And so they're able to adapt with the times as well. So, you know, me communicating with the fair board saying, here's an emerging project within our 4-H community. Is there an avenue that we can look at showcasing that at this year's fair? And so, yeah, they said, let's do it. Why not? And give more opportunities for more kids to participate at the fair. So we added that. There was a couple members that brought their robotics projects and programmed them and let them run a course, and the judge had scored them. And so it's a great way for us to continue to expand and evolve as our society and our economy changes, to bring that opportunity for young people to demonstrate their skills and abilities at the county fairs. It really is a true partnership that we in Extension do appreciate.
What's a list of those values that kids can take away from participating in 4-H, whether it's the, you know, robotics or showing animals? What do you think the game?
Yes. Yeah, so characteristics that the members take away, first of all, confidence. They have to speak in front of a judge many times and articulate what they did for a project, what they learned, what didn't go well, because you know that part of learning is failing. And so, you know, that confidence, that sense of mastery, like, hey, I've been doing woodworking for the last 5, 6, 7 years, and looking at that evolution of kind of reflective thinking of, wow, I started with a birdhouse and now I've built a dresser that I can have for the rest of my life.
Wow. Jason Hausler stays with us as we jump from one county fair to the next. What's your favorite fair to attend in Wisconsin? And how have you seen it change in recent years? There's still time to join the conversation at 800-642-1234. I'm Keeley Boltina. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. Our Wisconsin weekend travels take us to the Crawford County Fair in southwestern Wisconsin. You'll find your carnival rides here, along with a talent show, thanks to the class of 62. And don't forget about the Demolition Derby tomorrow, cars destroying cars. It's all part of county fair life. I'm Keeley Boltina, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call to share your stories about the county fair. What do you remember about it growing up? Do you still visit the same fair, or maybe it's different fairs now? How much have they changed? Let us know about it. Jason Hausler is helping us connect with the county fair. He's the area extension director for Wood, Portage, Marathon, and Clark counties, and a former 4-H educator in Dunn County. Let's talk about the rides. This is a big draw of county fairs, and there are lots of different midways out there. Why are they popular for families, and what do you see county fairs doing as far as rides go?
Yeah, so, many times when we think of the fair, we think of the rides, or at least the kids do anyway. So that's the reason why I want to go. There are different companies that travel across the state, and I can't, name all of them, but there are each company brings a different, ride set, if you will. And so one of the pieces that I've known for many years is the wristband day. And it's generally an affordable opportunity for families that, in the agrarian society that we live in, if they don't go on long vacations and they're not able to get to a Six Flags Great America or Bay Beach in Green Bay, this is an opportunity for them for one day or 2 days to get out to a county fair and enjoy the rides, or have their children enjoy the rides. And many times there's wristband days, or there's tickets for a quarter or whatever it is. And so generally speaking, it's a great way for some family entertainment on the cheap, if you will.
And when the sun goes down, those rides light up. There's quite a nightlife at county fairs across Wisconsin.
Yeah, there is. And so you look at, I heard for the Crawford County Fair, the Demolition Derby and tractor pulls. After hours, you have tractor pulls that go in some of the grandstand areas. You have, sometimes there's bands that play. And so you look at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa, they had, many nights in a row, they have some nightly entertainment and just different events for the camaraderie of a community to come together and just be with each other's company in the heat of the summer.
Jason Hausler is the Area Extension Director for UW-Madison's Division of Extension, serving Wood, Portage, Marathon, and Clark counties. I'm Keely Boltina. Jason, when someone pays to attend a county fair, where does that money go? Does it connect with the community in any way?
Yeah, so because I'm not a member of a fair board, I can't tell you in particular how those monies are structured, but I can tell you there's a wide range of how fairs either some fairs are still free. So the nice thing is the Merrill Fair in Lincoln County, that's a free fair. And so you pay for other things when you get in. But, you know, the Central Wisconsin State Fair in Wood County, there's an admission. Same thing with the Wisconsin Valley Fair, et cetera. So, but what they do is help kind of reinvest back into the fairgrounds. So there is maintenance and upkeep that comes with, you know, cleaning the bathrooms, taking out the trash, traffic control, working with your local sheriff's office, or county or, you know, community partner to do that. Different things too. So when members in 4-H or FFA or scouting bring projects to the fair, they're actually, when they're judged, they're awarded a premium. And so a small dollar amount that goes with, you know, each ribbon placing, blue, red, white, or down the line. So, all the revenue that's generated, and I shouldn't say all of it, but a good chunk of that is divided into those areas. There are some, counties that still receive some financial assistance from the county board through, I guess, the county budgeting process. A lot of fairs do solicit external funds via, you know, commercial businesses or sponsors in that respect of, you know, somebody's going to sponsor the entertainment stage, somebody's going to sponsor, you know, the kitty tractor pull or the, you know, the big tractor pull, whatever it is. So they're out there in the community. And so the payback to the community, and I talk about these as community events, depending on where you're at, I mean, there could be hotel stays that come with that. You know, there's an influx in, you know, your convenience store travel, people gassing up to come into the fair and actually leaving the community. You look at just the sheer volume of money that businesses, if you're a local business or service group that's generating revenue from a food stand or some other sort of, you know, entity at the county fair that's reinvested back into that community. And so they really can be an economic driver to some extent in those communities.
Jason, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jason Hausler is the Area Extension Director for UW-Madison's Division of Extension. He serves Wood, Portage, Marathon, and Clark counties. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum, and she's got a story about a very unique kayak race.
Paddle Quest is part scavenger hunt, part fantasy role-playing game, and part Mardi Gras. Every August, hundreds of people converge on the backwaters of the Wisconsin River flowage in Stevens Point. Participants paddle from place to place, playing games and interacting with wizards and pirates, sirens and time travelers. Rob Menser was there for Paddle Quest's 18th year.
No one really understands it. But I kind of write it out and I kind of make sense of it. My name is Matt Kirsch, and I am the creator of Paddle Quest.
All right, questers, looking out at a very glassy Wisconsin River flowage. That is nice.
So the way Paddle Quest works is teams start from Lakeside Bar, and they paddle to different camps all along the river where the characters have stations set up that you compete in various challenges.
All right, we're gonna throw in the tunes.
What's the point of this? Why do this?
To take a break from the monotonous reality of the normal day.
Well said, man.
To explore the backwaters with your best friends.
Raddest camaraderie around.
All right. People bring a lot of creativity to this event. People dress up as characters, like a league of their own. They're champions. They were the first all-female team to win.
I'm Chamomile Nuss.
Deanna Linsmeyer.
Katie Butke.
It was about being a league of their own.
Yeah, the name really rang
really
true through us.
Is
yeah.
Basically what's happening.
You guys ready to sing the paddle song?
My paddle's keen and bright, flashing with silver, all of the world new light, dip, and swing.
Woo! Heck yeah! Perfect score this year! Let's go!
My name is Ellie Jackson. There are three challenges at Siren Island. One of them is Can Jam. One person throws a frisbee and one person sort of slams the frisbee into this like can. But it's a team sport, and we, if there are two teams, yeah, they got one. It's a hard feat. Our whole goal is to keep people here forever.
Miranda Krasinski.
Brody Bruner.
And we are the...
Anomalies.
Yes, the Anomalies.
We came up with that team name 4 minutes before we registered. So
yeah.
We are on Bear Island. They've got a nice mix-up of dice and blackjack for us. Where you try to roll a bunch of dice, try to get as close to 21 without busting.
Did you pass this one? Oh, yeah, because...
Yeah, the sign.
I don't remember seeing that.
Okay, so what happened was we clearly made a wrong turn, and we ended up at Bear Island. So we made a giant circle in the wrong direction. We have lost our canoe. It was very bad.
Oh, my God, there's mosquitoes. They're just, look at them around me. They want my blood.
We somehow ended up back at the Bear Island event, at which point one of the Bear Island folks guided us back to our canoe ever so kindly.
Is that Bear Island?
And choose wisely!
Because it's so community-based and so many people come out to help me with this, all the characters and stuff, that I get kind of weepy when I think about it. Because it's just so moving that people just are come together so well.
This is like my favorite weekend of the entire year. I love to paddle, I love to play games, I love to compete, and I love to hang out with my friends.
You get so stuck in adulting, and to come to something like this, and you can, it's like summer camp. It's magic.
Totally, it's magical.
Ah! Some people make a living questing.
Those were the sounds and characters from Paddle Quest in Stevens Point. WPR's Rob Menser was not crowned protector of the backwaters, but he did bring us that story. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And I'm Keeley Boltina. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.